صباح الخير. عناوين اليوم: طلبات تطلق مفاجأة الموسم، كريم تسعى للحصول على تمويل جديد، ودبي تطلق قانونا للعملات المشفرة. يا أهلا وسهلا فيكم ببرنامجكم تك بالعربي، معكم أنا هالة بسام، ومعنا بخلف الكواليس علي. واليوم خلونا نبدأ أخبارنا بشركة طلبات. أعلنت شركة طلبات لتوصيل الطعام والمواد الغذائية عن تعيين النجم البرتغالي كريستيانو رونالدو سفير لعلامتها التجارية، طبعاً في ظل السنة اللي رح تشهد فيها منطقة الشرق الأوسط استضافة لكأس العالم 2022 في قطر لأول مرة في تاريخها. ومن جانبه قال رونالدو عن هذه الشراكة أنه بالنسبة إله هو وطلبات عم بتشاركوا العديد من الصفات، فالأمر بيتعلق بالحفاظ على أفضل هيئة والعمل بشكل أكثر ذكاء داخل وخارج الملعب، والتأكد من أنه في المكان والوقت الصحيح لإحداث أقوى تأثير. وهو بيعرف أنه على ثقة تامة، ودائما عنده ثقة بحدثه أيضا وخبرته ومهاراته، للتأكد من أنه هو عم بيقدم أقوى ما لديه للفريق، تماما مثل ما عم تعمل شركة طلبات وحتى السائقين اللي بيشتغلوا فيها عند توصيل الطلبات يوميا للعملاء في جميع أنحاء منطقة الشرق الأوسط وشمال أفريقيا. ويذكر أيضا أن شركة طلبات تأسست في عام 2004 وبدأت بتوصيل الطلبات في الكويت تحديدا قبل ما تتوسع إلى 9 بلدان في المنطقة. ويسعى رونالدو للوصول إلى كأس العالم 2022 في قطر مع منتخب بلاده بعد أن أوقعته قرعة الملحق الأوروبي المؤهل للمونديال في مجموعته الصعبة، إذ سيتعين على البرتغال تجاوز تركيا في نصف النهائي، ثم الفائز من إيطاليا وأيضا مقدونيا الشمالية في النهائي. عم نشوف أنه خطوة جدا ذكية من شركة طلبات لأنه يكون اسمها مربوط باسم النجم العالمي كريستيانو رونالدو، والوقت اللي تم اختيار فيه هذا التعاون هو وقت فعلا يعني رائع جدا مع وجود المونديال في تحديدا في قطر ولأول مرة في منطقة الشرق الأوسط. وفي الحديث أكثر أيضا عن الشركات الناشئة، ننتقل لنعطيكم آخر المستجدات لشركة كريم. عم تطلع الآن كريم اللي هي الشركة المملوكة طبعا لشركة أوبر لجمع 500 مليون دولار من مستثمرين، بما في ذلك رح يكون في صناديق سيادية خليجية لمساعدتها على تمويل خطتها التوسعية لتقديم خدمات جديدة تتجاوز النقل. بالإضافة إلى ذلك أجرت كريم ومقرها دبي محادثات مع صندوق الاستثمارات العامة السعودي وأيضا صندوق القابضة في أبوظبي للحصول على الأموال المطلوبة، كما أفاد أحد الأشخاص اللي أعطونا هذا التقرير. ولكن أسماءهم نظرا للخصوصية وأضافوا أيضا أنه بنك أوف أمريكا عم بيقدم المشورة بشأن الصفقة، لكن الأشخاص أشاروا أيضا أنه هاي المحادثات في مراحلها المبكرة، لذلك فإن القيمة النهائية لعملية التمويل قد تتغير طبعا، كما يمكن أن ينضم مزيد من الممولين لهذه الجولة التمويلية. وبالإضافة إلى ذلك يعني ما حدا علق لسه على هذا الموضوع، لا كريم لا أوبر ولا حتى بنك أوف أمريكا، بينما لم يكن صندوق الاستثمارات العامة السعودي أصلا كمان أيضا من المعلقين على هذا الموضوع. طبعا استحوذت أوبر بشكل كامل على كريم في عام 2019 مقابل 3.1 مليار دولار في صفقة تاريخية لقطاع الشركات الناشئة في المنطقة، ولكن رغم ذلك فإن الشركتان تعملتان بشكل مستقل إلى حد كبير حتى هذه اللحظة. وفي الحديث أكثر عن تحديدا دولة الإمارات، خلينا نعطيكم آخر المستجدات عن دولة الإمارات ولكن مع العملات المشفرة، اللي هو أحد يعني الأمور والتوبكس اللي كل الناس عم تحكي فيها تقريبا، مستثمرين سواء كانوا أفراد أو حتى شركات، فلذلك في تطلع كتير كبير على هذا الموضوع. عم نشوف أيضا في العديد من الإيفنتات اللي عم تصير والفعاليات المتعلقة بالبلوك تشين NFT والعملات الرقمية. الآن قال حاكم دبي الشيخ محمد بن راشد آل مكتوم يوم أمس الأربعاء إنه الإمارة اعتمدت أول قوانينها لتنظيم الأصول الافتراضية وأنشأت هيئة تنظيمية للإشراف على عمل القطاع، وعكفت الإمارات اللي بتشكل مركزا ماليا حيويا للمنطقة على تطوير إطار تنظيمي للأصول الافتراضية. طبعا كل هذا لجذب أشكال جديدة من الأعمال التجارية مع احتدام المنافسة الاقتصادية في المنطقة. بالإضافة إلى ذلك تشمل الأصول الافتراضية عامة منتجات من بينها طبعا العملات المشفرة، الرموز الغير قابلة للاستبدال الـ NFT مثل ما ذكرنا. لكن الإعلان لم يحدد ماهية الأصول التي ستخضع للقانون الجديد، ولكن قال الشيخ محمد في بيان نقلته وسائل الإعلام الحكومية إن قانون تنظيم الأصول الافتراضية في دبي يهدف إلى أن تكون دبي والإمارات عموما لاعبا رئيسيا في تصميم مستقبل الأصول الافتراضية عالمياً. وأضاف أيضا أن سلطة دبي لتنظيم الأصول الافتراضية ستشرف على تطوير أفضل بيئة عمل في العالم للأصول الافتراضية، سواء كان من ناحية التنظيم، التراخيص أو حتى حوكمة واتساقها مع الأنظمة المالية المحلية والعالمية. وسيتم تطبيق القانون الجديد في جميع أنحاء دبي باستثناء مركز دبي المالي العالمي، وهي طبعا المنطقة المالية الحرة المملوكة للدولة. وتعمل سلطة دبي للخدمات المالية، وهي الجهة المسؤولة عن تنظيم عمل مركز دبي المالي العالمي، على تطوير لوائح خاصة بها لقطاع الأصول الافتراضية. وفي أكتوبر تشرين الأول تحديدا أطلقت سلطة دبي للخدمات المالية المرحلة الأولى من إطارها التنظيمي للتعامل في الأصول الرقمية، وأجرت هذا الأسبوع مشاورات حول تنظيم الرموز المشفرة، واللي رح تشمل مثل ما ذكرنا العملات المشفرة والرقمية. وقالت هيئة الأوراق المالية والسلع في الإمارات الثلاثاء تحديدا أن الإمارات ككل باتت قريبة جدا من إصدار الإطار التنظيمي والإشرافي والرقابي المتعلق بالأصول الافتراضية، وهذا الشيء يعني كانوا بانتظاره العديد من المستثمرين في مجال العملات الرقمية، لأن وجود قانون مدعوم من الحكومة رح يدعم أيضا الشركات والأفراد للاستثمار في العملات المشفرة، ورح يكون في يعني نوع من التنظيم والسياسات لهذا الموضوع. هذه كانت كل أخبارنا الصباحية لليوم. بعد الفاصل خليكم معنا مقابلتنا مع بركة ودارمش مؤسسي إيكوزو، خليكم معنا ولا تروحوا لبعيد. And we're back with our guests in the studio, Berka and Darmish, co-founders of Iruzo. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
First of all, tell us more about your company, the products that you provide.
Yeah, so basically we have come up, like basically we are trying to come up with a range of sustainable products, basically to replace all the single-use plastics. Mm-hmm. So as you know, like single-use plastics are a big problem these days, environmentally and health-wise. So we are replacing it with, like, for each and every single-use plastic product, we have come up with a replacement in sustainable form, 100% plant-based, without any chemicals. Yeah.
Interesting. When did you start the company?
So it's around, like, it's been 2 months now, okay. The second month on, yeah.
How has it been going since?
See, well, in terms of response, it is very good, the kind of response we are getting from everywhere. It is, I mean, much Amazing. More than what we expected, yeah. Commercially, we would be starting to generate revenues from the month of March, or latest by the first week of April.
That's really good, because a lot of startups, like, they start and up to 6 months already, like, there's zero revenue really.
Absolutely.
It's more of investments and how much money you put in it. So that's really good. However, in terms of sustainability, it's a huge thing. Like, it's something governments are talking about all over the world.
Yeah.
But how important it is to raise awareness as well, as part of not just providing the products, you know, because we're not really 100% aware of how important it
Absolutely.
Is each individual role to actually use it.
So that is it. So we are not just bringing in the products. What we are doing is we are trying to create the awareness, because if the only if the awareness is there, then only, you know, this the entire sustainable community can sustain. Yeah. And we are also being backed up with, of course, the government initiatives. So we are bang on time. And of course, the range that we bring in is huge, like starting from plant-based to edible, to wooden, and you can see these bags, mm-hmm. which look like plastic,
yeah.
but these are not plastic.
Exactly. I was about to say, I'm like, this looks looks like plastic.
Yes, absolutely.
Even the cutlery, it looks like plastic, but it's actually not.
Okay, let's talk about the edible, because that's I think
yes, absolutely.
Because I'm like, you can use a straw, but then you can eat it
also.
Like
yes.
I can
like a cookie.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not just the straw. We have the entire range, like spoons, forks, cups, plates, chopsticks, ice cream sticks, and it's a huge range. Plus with flavors.
Yeah, all edible and all in different flavors, and at the same time we can customize the flavors as well.
Wow.
So suppose we have flavors which are, for example, for spoons, we have flavors of spices which are more popular in India.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if this market or any other market wants some other flavor, we can do that as well.
We are planning for Middle Eastern flavors like za'atar and all those.
That's amazing. But I think that's a game changer even for restaurants. Are you thinking of B2B as well in terms of that? Because I would imagine using this with the restaurant.
Absolutely.
See, it will we are planning to work on two folds. Mm-hmm. One is B2B and one is B2C. B2C of course is always going to be there, because end of the day it is people who would be using it, and their awareness and their interest would matter. At the same time, for this kind of products, the bulk users are the horeca industries. Yeah, so we are on B2B as well. So we have already started talking to some big names.
Yeah.
And hopefully we would be receiving our first orders in a week or 2 weeks' time.
That's really good. What about the logistic part? Like, do you have any background in terms of the logistics of even creating such products?
Yeah, see, I mean, that is the best part. See, it's a kind of a combination. She has always been passionate about sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been in the international procurement and import-export business for the last 20 years.
Okay,
so it was like best of both. So what we have done is even the products which you are seeing now, these are all sourced from 6 different countries. So we have all the sourcing arrangements plus logistics arrangements. So suppose somebody, like if someone in Brazil wants one shipment, so that's also not an issue for us. If somebody wants it in US or anywhere in the world, so the logistically we are 100% okay, be it a small parcel or full container loads, we are ready for everything.
And what about that, this is edible, so does it stay for as long, how much, you know?
This one has a life of 9 months.
Wow.
Yeah, shelf life of 9 months.
We also have other products wherein the shelf life is like 2 years and, you know, so on. So depending on the product, but the edible usually is between 9 to 12 months.
And how long does it stay in the, like, the drink?
In the drink itself is over an hour, and we are being conservative.
Okay, that's really good, because usually some of them, the cartoonish ones or whatever, it's
absolutely
way less than an hour.
See, that was the thing. Some other people had also tried to produce edible straws in past,
mm-hmm.
but they couldn't last for more than 15-20 minutes in the beverages.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that was the reason, and this is safely 1 hour. It's safe.
Interesting. Yeah. What's the biggest challenge you guys faced in the launching the business?
In launching the business, I would not say the biggest challenge, but the hard work is there, because the thing is awareness. There are two parts of it. One is like people are not aware about the sustainability.
Yeah.
Second thing is, even somebody is aware of sustainability and they want to go for sustainable products, then availability is a question.
Mm-hmm.
Because different products are available at different places, like few here, few there.
Yeah.
But if you want a full collection, or if you want to buy something from one place, you don't have it. Like, nobody has a full range of it. And that's where we are working hard on it, to create the awareness first, and then letting people know that, okay, it is available at one place at an affordable price. That is also very important.
I was about to ask you, like, there's a huge, is it a myth that sustainable products are more expensive than the regular product?
I think with our brand, that was a myth now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We are trying to make,
That's our second thing. One is sustainability range, and the third part is at affordable prices for the masses.
Yeah, because that's also, like, if I'm using it, I want to use it on a regular basis, you know. So it should be at an affordable price. But how do you get the orders? And we were discussing off air as well that you guys are moving also into technology.
Yes, of course.
You have your own website as well.
Yeah.
So tell us more.
So we are going to, we are trying to make a better use of technology for this purpose. The thing is like people can buy it from the online marketplaces, the popular online marketplaces, and then they can buy from our website as well. The idea is right now availability is limited to stores mainly and little less on the online platforms. So the thing is like we are trying to cater to the customers who want sustainable products. They can be in any corner of the world or any corner of GCC anywhere.
Yeah.
But this technology is making it possible to like so
reach
that we yeah to reach those people, which was not possible otherwise. In traditional offline marketing, it is not possible to reach each and every corner. So we are using technology to make it available for everyone. Even we are open for international shipping also, as far as the customer can afford the shipping cost.
That's really interesting. What are your future plans in terms of EcoZone?
Future plans, it's like we have decided to go into three phases. First phase is, of course, UAE and GCC. Second phase is US, UK and Australia.
Okay.
And third would be the other prospective countries. Yeah. So we are, I would just like to mention that we are not like a local trading company or a local e-commerce site. Our idea is to create this range for the global market. And of course, because we are directly with the producers, we make manufacturers are producing it for us under our brand. So we can customize it for different markets as well.
And the cultures are different, like in each market.
Absolutely.
So how, as you said, even flavors wise.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
First of all, I think awareness. I'm sure there are markets who are more aware of how important it is. Do you have any, maybe you've done your research about those topics that you can share some results with us?
Like the market.
Like for instance, the differences between the markets.
So like if we talk about Australia and New Zealand, they are the ready markets. Same with UK or Europe. But here, that's the reason what we have planned here is we are raising awareness with different workshops, community events, schools, universities, and more. And thereby, we are promoting the products. And as we mentioned about the tech, so it's not only just our brand. We'll be giving a huge lot of brands for the customers to be available.
Exactly. Yeah. That's great. Also, we were discussing the flavors, like for instance, Middle Eastern.
Yeah.
You would cater to it and then do that
for instance.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's how we plan to go.
I mean, see, nowadays, if you want to go globally, then you have customization has to be there for any product. Just because all the customers, all the cultures cannot use the same product or same specifications. There has to be customizations. And that was the reason we are not just picking up the products off the shelf. We are asking manufacturers to make it as per our specifications. Only thing, the bottom line or the fundamental thing for us is all the products or all the manufacturers are highly certified in the respective categories. Like all these products are FDA approved already. So likewise, whatever categories they fall into, we have the highest certification in all of them.
And the customization is that what makes the product unique from other products. Thank you so much for being with us. And thank you for your efforts and raising awareness about sustainability. We have a vertical just called Smashy Green. We literally focus on how important it is to raise awareness about those topics. Now, after we finish, I'm going to try one.
You can try it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us here.
Thank you. شكرا لكل الناس اللي تابعتنا انا بشوفكم بكره بنفس الموعد نهاركم سعيد جميعا